The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. A man came, sent by God. His name was John. He came as a witness to speak for the light, so that everyone might believe through him. He was not the light, only a witness to speak for the light. This is how John appeared as a witness. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he not only declared, but he declared quite openly, "I am not the Christ." "Well then," they asked, "are you Elijah?" "I am not," he said. "Are you the prophet?" They answered, "No." So he said to him, "Who are you? We must take back an answer to those who sent us. What have you to say about yourself?" So John said, "I am, as Isaiah prophesied, a voice that cries in the wilderness, 'Make a straight way for the Lord.'" Now these men had been sent by the Pharisees, and they put this further question to him, "Why are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, not the prophet?" John replied, "I baptize with water, but there stands among you, unknown to you, the one who is coming after me, and I am not fit to undo his sandal strap." This happened at Bethany, on the far side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. Holy Land today is as tense a place as it was 2,000 years ago. And among the hardships faced today by the Palestinian people now is access to losing their land or having their movement restricted. I missed the great railway journey that Michael Portillo made to the Holy Land that was on television a week or two ago, because I'm still not quite sure how you catch up on past programs. But anyway, I gather that in that, when he got to that wall round Bethlehem, he was stopped. And it's a 30-foot-high wall with the watchtower, and that's where Pope Francis stopped on his unscheduled stop there when he was in the Holy Land earlier in the year. And when we get to a World Peace Day early in January, the prayer cards you'll all receive have a picture of him there at that wall. It was just the same in John the Baptist's day, in a sense, because they want to question him. When you go through the checkpoints, you need, of course, your passport, you need identity. Who are you? Where are you going? What are you here for? Who are you? And all that sort of business goes on. We need to catch from John the Baptist the three times that he says, "I am not," because the writer of the Gospel, John, is very clear in a way as to why he does that. Because that question is threefold. Who are you? Are you the prophet? Are you Elijah? Are you the Christ? I am not. I am not. I am not. And in a way, that's the contrast with Jesus, who in the Gospel is "I am, I am." Seven times Jesus says, "I am." Absolute affirmation of who he is. And John is almost the opposite in that humility. "I am not, I am not, I am not." But the word that is used four times at least in that short gospel for John is a witness. His role is to point away from himself towards the other, the one who is more worthy than by far. In fact, "I'm not even fit to be a slave and undo his sandal strap. He must go greater, I must grow smaller. John, John." John is that witness. Jesus, the reality, standing among them, though yet unknown. John is the voice. Jesus is the word. And St. Augustine says, if you take away the words, what is a voice? Just a noise, because it conveys no meaning. It's just an empty sound. So the wordless voice strikes the ear, but doesn't make the heart grow. But the voice points to the Word, who is Jesus. And then John is the lamp. Jesus, the light. And in our baptism, when we receive that light of Christ, we're given the candle, lit from the Easter candle, the risen Lord, there, Christ the light, and said, shine like a light in the world. The lamp, John, awaits the light. It's like the lights are on, but if the lights are off, they're still there, but they need that light, and that light is Christ. So we are to be like John the Baptist. We're asked by God not to be anything beyond ourselves. I'm not pretending to be Christ or Elijah or the prophet or whoever it is, because the Great One stands in our midst. That is Jesus, though largely unknown by so many of our contemporaries. And we are to be like John the Baptist, the witness to all that. So we are to recognize in faith the presence of Jesus among us. The Advent candles remind us that presence coming nearer, but of course the sense in which Jesus is always with us. And we can catch that message repeated in the readings. So that first reading from Isaiah speaks about the Spirit of the Lord that's been given to me. There was a man came called by God, sent by God. We too have been called, and we're sent by God. And the second reading, St. Paul says, never try to suppress the Spirit or treat the gift of God with contempt, because God has called us and he's given us that power in the Spirit to be a witness, to be the voice, to be the lamp of Christ. And so John is challenging us on this Gaudete Sunday, rejoicing Sunday, to be an effective witness for Jesus. And many opportunities do arise. I'm sure people at work, people at home, people in your families. How many say, you know, my family never practice, they never come near church, they've no regard. Lots of you mention that. But there's always moments, not forcing it down their throats. We don't. That's not what John did. But in fact, it's actually just reminding them gently of the light of Christ, of the voice who speaks of the Word, which is Christ, which is witness to Christ. And so people should be able to look at our lives, and they should be able to ask, are we the voice that speaks of Jesus and for Jesus? Are we a witness to Jesus in our families, in our homes, in our work, in our social life? Are we the witness to Jesus in language, in our political attitudes, in our prejudices? Are we ashamed of the faith, the Catholic faith that we hold when challenged? Are we proud to let it be known that we live by gospel values? Do we have a sense of today's Gaudete, rejoice at all times, which St. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And what's true of us as individuals? They should be able to look at the gathered community, those of us here, and do they see in this community a community that brings light to darkened lives, that's joyful sound to ears that are deaf to goodness, hope to all who are imprisoned or enslaved in addiction or any other form like that, a healing to sickness of soul and body, life to the depressed and moribund, good news to the poor, because the Lord has sent us that. The risen Lord is among us. The risen Lord, we look forward to celebrating again his first coming. But he's unknown unless we witness to him.